this week's edition of the That's So Cincinnati podcast. I am Burl Love, editor of the Cincinnati Enquirer, and this week we're going to jump right to it. We're going to talk about all things America's River Roots Festival, and our special guests this week are Captain Alan Bernstein, who many know as the owner of B&B Riverboats. We're looking forward to talking with him, and then Kyla Woods, who is one of the spokespersons for America's River Roots. The festival launches, pun intended, next week on Wednesday, October 8th, and runs through the rest of the weekend. So without further ado, producer Phil, should we jump right in? All right, he gave me the nod. It's special guest time coming up. Welcome to special guest time on the That's So Cincinnati podcast. As promised, we have not one, but two special guests today here to talk about America's River Roots. I'm happy to welcome to the podcast Kyla Woods, who is a spokesperson for America's River Roots, and the man, the myth, the legend, Captain Alan Bernstein of B&B Riverboats. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
I don't think I've ever been introduced as a special person. So this is my very first.
I don't believe you, Captain.
I'm going to go back to work and tell them that I'm a special person.
You are our special guest today. So I'm glad you're here. There's been a lot of talk about this event because if you're new to Cincinnati, it seems like a new event. Like, oh, what's going on with these riverboats and bourbon and everything like that and music? But if you're a lifelong Cincinnatian or at least grew up here, you remember Tall Stacks. And so it's hard not to start with that aspect of the festival. So maybe I'll just ask you, Captain Bernstein, you were around when it all started.
I was there the very day that it was invented. The Bicentennial Commission of the City of Cincinnati wanted to do six signature events back in 1988. That was our bicentennial year. And they got a group of river people together. I was one. There was probably about 15 of us, and we met for a year. This is late 1983 into the 1984 timeframe, and we met for quite a while and could not come up with a signature event. And as we were leaving the last meeting, which we had decided to report back to the commission that there was no major event that we could come up with, I said to Rick Grywe and Jay Downey, I said, you know, it's a shame that we couldn't come up with something. What if I called some of my friends around the inland rivers and see if they would bring boats to Cincinnati? And they both stopped and said, you could do that? And I said, I can pick up
one of
phone
those moments
and I can call.
Where the clouds parted and the light came in.
And the only thing you can say is no, it's not like they're going to, you know, tar and feather me. And I got 11 boats to commit to coming in 1988 to the very first Tall Stacks. Now, I have to tell everybody, we had no idea what we were getting ourselves into. I mean, nobody knew how to do this. And I will say today, there has been no other city than Cincinnati, Ohio, that has been able to put on a riverboat festival, bringing boats from as far away as New Orleans, Galveston, Texas, St. Paul. And this is the only place you can come to that has been able to do it successfully. And I'm not saying that's because of me. I'm saying that's because the city got behind the event, and it was big, big news back in 85, 86.
I remember.
Building up to 1988. And all the boats would call me and say, hey, we need this, and I said, don't worry, we'll get it. but I was lying through my teeth. I mean, I had no idea how I was going to get what they wanted, but I said, don't worry, we will produce it. And we did. I'm not sure how, but we did. That's how it really all started. We had 1988 was bicentennial year, 1992, 95, 99, 2003, and 2006 was our last until this one coming up in a week.
So people who remember Tall Stacks, it was quite the sight to see. All the riverboats coming to Cincinnati, hearkening back to the glory days of paddle wheel transportation and steam billowing out of those tall stacks. But this is, I would say, America's River Routes is taking that concept and building on it. Yeah. And so that's maybe I'll ask this to you, Kyla. As I've talked to people, I think the message it's getting out is like, well, this isn't just Tall Stacks. Mm-hmm. This is like Tall Stacks, you know, on steroids. So tell me a little bit about how this idea evolved and what people can expect.
I think you're exactly right. I've heard that too, that this is Tall Stacks on steroids, that it is Tall Stacks times 10. And so for me, I'm not a native to Cincinnati, so I hope that doesn't make people tune out. So please stick with us. I do love it here.
How long have you been here?
Almost 14 years.
Yeah, that counts.
Okay, is that enough time?
Yeah, that counts. I've got some skin in the game.
Okay,
counts.
I'm not a newbie. Thank you for that.
Right.
I needed that affirmation. So thank you.
And if you can make up a local high school that you went to, then you...
let's not go there. Girl, you took us down a spiral, and we're not going to do that today.
No, we're not going to do that.
Back to the positive. Honestly, my husband and I, we've planted roots here. We're very proud of that. We love Cincinnati, or we wouldn't still be here. But what I love about this particular event and hearing from Captain Bernstein talk about the cultural aspect and the history of it is that you will have a generation of folks who were here for Tall Stacks, who loved it and remember that, who will now bring maybe their kids and their grandkids and their, you know, their relatives to experience America's River Roots, to relive that nostalgia of that particular event and also to experience the newness of it. So we're taking it, we're broadening the scope of that cultural experience now with food, with beer, with bourbon. I mean, we are a beer and bourbon town, a beer and bourbon region. And so to have this beautiful display of all of our local vendors, so many local brewmasters, so many local artisan food makers who will be here, and local music artists. And so we're just hoping this can be an experience for the entire family, those who are familiar with Tall Stacks, those who have only heard about it, you know, through their family or through their friends, and who can come and kind of relive it, but in a new way. So that's what we're hoping people will experience.
So let's start with the boats themselves. It's amazing just to come down and hang out and see the river full of boats. But if you wanted to get on a boat, small cruise, dinner cruise, lots of options. Let's talk about how people can actually get on one of these boats.
A lot of options. They can go on the website. The boats are, they can click on boats, and it is their choice. They can go on any boat that they choose. There are nine boats. It's not unfortunate, but two of them are local. That's the two BB River boats, the Belle of Cincinnati and the River Queen. But there are seven visiting boats. Two of them are authentic steamboats. And there are only two commercial steamboats left in the United States on our river system. And that's the Natchez, which is coming from New Orleans, and the Belle of Louisville, which is just down the road.
Just around the bend,
yeah. And, of course, we are very good friends with the Belle of Louisville. We go every year to the Derby race. They race us. And they are very, very untrustworthy. They will lie, steal, and cheat their way to a win. We don't play that game, but we challenge them quite a bit. So, but anyway, and that's really what boat racing is today. In the old days, boat racing was very serious, and you could advertise that we won the big race. And if you want to ship your goods down the river, use
the
us
fastest
because
boat,
we're
yes.
the fastest yeah. boat. And so it was a big deal back then. Now it's become a lot of fun, and it's bragging. You know, we can brag in Cincinnati that we beat the Belle Louisville as they do in Louisville. I mean, in fact, I'm a wanted man in Louisville. They hate me.
Are you on a poster?
Oh, they hate me down there. I've been arrested several times. For all these trumped up charges.
Is there like
oh,
a bounty,
boy.
Kyla?
Listen,
maybe you and I could.
I don't know.
Like,
this is news to me.
You know, there might be. You might be able I mean, to
we
get
have
money
locked.
For turning me
yes,
in.
Yeah, we should actually start advertising
well,
this.
Well, we have them locked in the studio here. We could just like keep the door locked until we get that bounty.
And I have to be careful because if I'm arrested anywhere, they say, have you been arrested before? Well, yeah, in Louisville. I'm a wanted guy down there. But anyway, the two steamboats are going to be the stars of the show. The Natchez is the biggest boat coming and coming from the farthest distance. So the boat from Minneapolis is 6 miles short of being the one that comes the longest distance. But and the Natchez should be here Saturday afternoon, evening, and a Sunday. Yeah, if you want to come down and take some great pictures that you will never get in Cincinnati, well, I can't say never. If you want a unique picture of Cincinnati, take the Natchez and the Belle Louisville when they're docked here in Cincinnati. Those are going to be unique pictures. Mm-hmm. And in fact, during all the tall stacks, thousands of people came really just to take pictures. And they were some great pictures. And I think this is going to be the same way. So we have the two steamboats. Then we have the Celebration Belle from Moline, Illinois. If you don't know where Moline, Illinois is, that's the Quad Cities.
I can name all four Quad Cities. I used to live in Davenport.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
You know them.
So you got Davenport, Bettendorf, Moline, and Rock Island.
Rock Island. Yeah, that's right. Those are the four.
That's right.
And if you don't know that, you can look on a map. You'll see those cities, and those are called the Quad Cities area. So the Celebration Belle. The Belle of Memphis, which is here in Cincinnati today. So if you want to come down and take one picture of one boat, you can do that. We should start getting boats here Friday night, Saturday, certainly by Sunday and Monday. So it might change every day as the boats pull in. And we have, let's see, the Pittsburgh boat, who has promised me that they're coming with all the Pittsburgh sports teams on prominent display on the outside of their boat.
I don't know if that's a good idea.
Now you're talking. Well, now this is the smack talking that I'm talking about.
Now,
are you loading up your cannons?
They want the smoke. They want the smoke.
Torpedoes that we're going to be shooting if they come down that way. And our crew is already ready to go over and take it all down.
Okay, yeah, that's what I like to hear.
So you might see some news. Oh, my God, there's a big theft on the river.
Yep.
Well, I can tell you that's our crew.
Yeah.
And I'll probably be arrested. That's okay. You know, we'll deal with that.
We got darts flying. We've got, you know, rival teams being displayed. That'll get some people down here just at this.
Oh, yeah.
Just for that fact.
And I've already told their owner, he's a great friend of mine. I said, now, listen, if you're minus one boat, the boat might not come back.
Yep.
It might be on the bottom of the river, is all, you know. So
future generations will discover it like
that's
a shipwreck.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's a great lineup of boats. They are all very pretty boats. We're going to have a daytime parade on Thursday. So if you want to come down, it's Thursday afternoon. I guess it's between 3 and 5. I don't have my master schedule here, but I believe it's in the afternoon. That is a daytime parade. And for the first time in all the tall stacks, we're going to have a nighttime parade on Sunday evening.
To close it out?
It's going to be the steamboat race, which is the Belle Louisville and the Natchez. They will race in the afternoon. When they come back, we'll load up the dinner crews. Then there will be the parade of lights of all the boats that will come by downtown. And then they'll turn around and they're going to gather just on the other side of the bridge here and watch the fireworks. And at the end of the fireworks, the festival will come to a conclusion.
All right. Well, that's in and of itself is reason to come. But
absolutely.
But wait, there's more. You mentioned bourbon earlier. Yes. All right, let's get into that a little bit.
I'm also just thinking about like the visual, as you were talking about that Captain Bernstein, just the visual of thinking about our city lit up, you know, that nighttime parade, the boats on the river, you know, our community coming together, being able to enjoy some bourbon, some culinary experiences. And the culinary piece of it is very exciting. So we not only have our local chefs, our local artisan food makers, we'll have lots of folks lining the Purple People Bridge. You walk through and get your taste of any type of cultural food that you want. I know a lot of times in our community, we might have a German food festival, or we have, you know, a Cuban or Italian, but here you're going to get everything. And it's so exciting to be able to come and just, again, celebrate that history, the culture of our region, and those different food offerings that will be available. So the bourbon experience, of course, is going to be owned by Kentucky, because who else would own that? So that's going to be very exciting in Newport. We will have guided tastings from over 15 distillers. And so people will be able to get their bourbon fix, also your beer fix, because we love a good beer, a good local beer here. So we'll have lots of beer offerings as well. And so you can really just have your pick. You can curate your own experience as you come down on any given day and be able to experience these boats. As Captain Bernstein mentioned as well, you can get lunch on a boat. You can do a dinner cruise. I mean, you can also have food on the boats, you know, while you're enjoying that experience along the river. So I think it's just going to be, what I keep saying is, there really is something for everyone, no matter your age, no matter your background, whether you're living here in Cincinnati or you're visiting or you're inviting friends and family. It's just going to be a great time for us to come together. And we need that right now. We really do. We need a time to come together and celebrate.
Yes.
So this is going to be the perfect time for that.
And I don't want to take everybody back into history, but it's important with you talking about bourbon and food and religion and all the things. They all came by steamboat to Cincinnati. There was no other way unless you walked. That all came up the river from the south, from the north. It came down the river, and it came up the Ohio River all the way to Pittsburgh. And it is amazing how, when you talk about food and bourbon and all those things, they all happened because of the steamboat. Way before rail, way before airplanes, buses, trucks, cars, it was the only way to move your product. And all those things that are cultural today to us came originally by steamboat.
Yeah, and that's so important, because because now we're so advanced, we don't think about the steamboat as a mode of transportation for people to arrive at a destination, people or goods, right? So that is important context for us to have.
Well, you know, you can go to Europe in about 6 hours or 7 hours on an airplane. It's about 8 to 10 weeks on a boat. Ooh. You know, we've come a long way in the modern day. So there is not much you can say about Cincinnati that didn't have something to do with the river originally. So it's very, very much tied together.
Yeah.
Very much.
And I would add too, Burl, if it's okay, for me as a Black woman, it is very important to emphasize the importance of the river when we think about freedom. And we think about how so many enslaved people were using the river to escape Kentucky and come over into mm-hmm. Ohio as a means of freedom. So one thing we're really proud of from the team at America's River Roots is the Freedom Journey app, which will be a legacy gift to our community. It will live on way beyond this festival. It's available now. It's been available for a few months now. But that will give people a view into the important history, the historical aspect of the river, and not just here right in downtown and on the banks, but along, you know, there's so many other neighborhoods or regionally, I should say, New Richmond, different areas that housed abolitionists who were creating, helping those who were seeking freedom get access to it, hiding them in their homes, teaching them to read. So there's going to be a lot of great fun happening, but there's also an opportunity to teach our kids and, you know, the upcoming generation about the important things that we have access to now, the freedoms we have that weren't always available.
You know, there's a lot about education said today. If you watch news and all that, it is a shame that Cincinnati doesn't do a better job in their school systems to teach some of this river history that really shapes this area. And there's not much you can say that doesn't involve the Ohio River.
Yes.
And it's not taught well. Mm-mm. It really isn't.
Agreed. We can do better.
We can do much, much better. And of course, I go to schools and teach. I don't teach. I lecture on the importance of the Ohio River and what it means. And today, you know, you have a phone and you're connected to everything.
Yep.
Back in those days, you were connected to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to learn it all.
Yeah. Kyla, tell me the name of that app again.
The Freedom Journey app. It is available on all platforms. And about education, I think this could be a great tool for educators.
Sure.
So to help teach their kids. I mean, we're, like you said, these phones, everybody has a phone. The teachers do, the kids do. Plug in and go on a journey, you know, maybe take a field trip down to one of the sites or 10 of the sites and teach them about the history that exists here.
Well, hopefully just being down here will open up some eyes and spark some curiosity and that will help the cause.
I would certainly hope so. And they're going to get a chance to relive. If I don't know how many people go to the public library downtown, there's a great part of the river exhibit there. I think it's by appointment only. But if you really want to learn and see some pictures of what the public landing looked like in 1850. And then when you see it here in 2025, that other than the kinds of boats and the design of the boat, it's the same. I mean, boats are pulled in and they're loading this and they're it's all
just rip the flood walls out.
That's right.
You got to
put up the old buildings and the warehouses.
Yeah.
So
before we get into sort of like the user's guide information to River Routes, which we will, to wrap things up. I, Captain Bernstein, am just curious. I want to know how you got into your game here. Like, not many kids grow up, you know, when they're little, say, I want to be a riverboat captain when I grow up.
Well, and I said that too. I had no idea that the river was in my future.
Yeah.
I was a senior at Woodward High School, 1970. And I heard on the radio something about the Delta Queen coming to town the next day. And I skipped school and I went down to the public landing and there were marching bands and there were ladies all dressed in hoop skirts. There was a Dixieland band that came off the boat and the parade. And then Betty Blake came off the boat. And the captain came off. Funny story is Betty Blake, who's really my second mother, but she's a very small woman, very compact. And Captain Wagner at the time was 6'8", 350 pounds. And the two of them walked side by side. It was a magical moment.
I have to admit, I don't know who Betty Blake is.
Betty Blake was the president of Delta Queen Steamboat Company years and years ago. And she helped my dad and I get into BB Riverboats in the late 70s.
Okay.
So Betty was, anybody that knows the Delta Queen history will know Betty Blake and Bill Muster. Now, Bill Muster was from the West Coast. But Betty lived here in Cincinnati and Mount Adams. So she was very instrumental in helping us. And she died way too young from cancer, really our very first year. But Betty was just a dynamic woman. When she spoke, you could hear a dime drop on the ground. People really wanted to listen to her.
So you and your dad got into the business. You know what the moral of this story is, don't you?
Do tell.
Kids, skip school.
Well, yeah. No. Wait a minute, bro.
No, wait.
Kids, cover your ears.
Well, in this case, I was graduating, so I was already
Thank you for clearing that up.
I think we have some revisionist history going on here, but that's okay.
The day I skipped school, I think they were measuring for the cap and gowns and all that
all
stuff.
Right.
We weren't doing much academics at the end of school.
It's okay. I was really joking. So you're the small B in B&B Riverboats.
I am a small B and B, and my father, who had tremendous confidence in me, he said, "Alan, you're going to learn how to do this." And I said, "Dad, you're crazy. I can't make it through high school without, you know, flunking something or do." He said, "Alan, you're going to learn it and you're going to be great." And I said, "Dad, I don't know what you're smoking, but you need to think about this." But let me tell you this story, because it is a funny story. I went down to the public landing. I saw all this stuff. And I started walking around asking how you would get a job on this boat for, a summer job. And they said, go over to this person and that person. I finally met the guy, and I said, "Sir, I would like to get a job on this boat. How would you do that?" And he said, "Well, what do you do?" And I said, "Well, my parents own restaurants. We have a boat. I can deckhand. I can busboy." I was only 17 years old. I told him I was 18, but I was only 7. I'm pretty good at lying.
Skip school, lie about your age.
You're hearing all this stuff. And so he said, "Well, if you're here at 5 o'clock today, we're headed to New Orleans. You're hired."
I was stunned.
Now this is before cell phones. So I ran home and I wanted to see mom and dad. They weren't there. So I called the restaurant. They weren't there. They were in some important meeting. And I said, "Well, look, I need to get a hold of them." They said, "They're not, you can't disturb them." Okay. So I left them a note. "Dear mom and dad," this is a true story. I lie, but this is a true story. I shouldn't say that. I don't lie on purpose or seriously.
Not regularly.
But not regularly. Well,
you're a teller of tall tales.
Yeah. I'm a storyteller.
Yes, you are.
All storytellers tell. And I wrote a note to my mom and dad. I said, "Dear mom and dad, I got a job on the Delta Queen and I'm going to New Orleans. I will call you in 2 weeks." Yeah, again, there was no cell phone.
Goodness, I can't imagine getting that note from my kid now.
Now my mother.
That'd be the best day in my life.
Oh boy. Yeah, mom's over here like, "My daughter wrote that."
My mother was mortified.
See?
But my father thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I had the guts to go down there and I got a job. And so I got to New Orleans and I promised I'd call her. So I did. And she answered the phone and I said, "Mom, this is your little baby Alan." Dead silence. Not even a breath. And I said, "Mom," this is a true story. She said, "Alan, get your ass home right now." Right now.
She was not thrilled with your journey.
She was not thrilled. Oh. And I said, "Mom, I can't do that. I'm having the time of my life."
He's on Bourbon Street.
I was on Bourbon Street. I was at Canal and Bourbon. There was a payphone there.
Yeah.
And that's where
how
I called
her
mother.
On the payphone.
And on a payphone, yep. I put my nickel in. And that's how I got connected to the river. And it was magical. Absolutely.
That's such
magical.
A good story. Oh, man,
story.
That is great.
That's a true story. And I tell it often. But
all right. All right, so we'll wrap up here. I just noticed, because it popped up, that our good friend John from Kiss 107 is hosting one of the hosts. Like, that might be a party boat to get on, Kiss 107.
Might be, girl. Yeah. Might be. It's guaranteed to be a party boat.
But you have to buy tickets in advance for that, and there are a few things. You just can't kind of roll in here and expect to do it all. So on the website, which is americasriverroots.com, all smashed together. Or just Google it, right?
Yep,
or go
right.
to cincinnati.com, where we have a comprehensive. Anyway, you can get information on how to participate in the bourbon tasting, book a cruise. You've got a gala to kick things off, a music hall.
Yes, that's going to be amazing as well.
All right.
And also the app. People can also get all the information as well on our app. So, of course, folks can go to the website. Some people are more comfortable doing that. If you are a bit more tech savvy and you love an app, we also have an app. It's the America's River Roots app. Makes it very easy to plan out your time at the festival next week. So, of course, folks can download that app. You can see all of the music artists. You can find the vendors. You can see the riverboat schedule. So very helpful information there, too.
All right. Well, I want to thank both of you, Captain Bernstein, of course, for telling us that tall stack, tall tale. Kyla, full of information. I think a lot of people are excited about this. I really appreciate you guys.
Well, they should be, because it only happens in Cincinnati.
Only in Cincinnati.
It's a Cincinnati thing.
And I know you guys must be busy. Things kick off, what, less than a week on Wednesday,
less
October
than a week.
8th?
Yeah.
I'm afraid to go back to the office. I don't know what's back there for me.
What hell awaits you?
It is a very busy time, but we are also excited.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.